Okay, so I was talking about light in vacuum, and the last thing we did was we calculated something called the density of states, or in the last lecture we calculated something called the density of states, and this tells us how many solutions that satisfy periodic boundary conditions are there for a certain wavelength, or a certain energy, or a certain frequency. And what we saw was that there was, in three dimensions, we could plot the allowed solutions as a square lattice in K-space, and the ones with the same wavelength were all in a shell. They were all in a spherical shell, the same distance from the origin, they all have the same absolute value of K, and it turns out that the number of solutions grows with K, and it grows with frequency. And here I've got the same calculation, but now in one and two dimensions. And in one dimension, the allowed solutions are in K-space on a line like this. So this solution is a right-going wave with one wavelength in the whole box. And this one is a right-moving wave with two wavelengths in the box, and three wavelengths in the box, and so forth. And over here are the left-moving waves. And if I want to know the density of states in one dimension, then I ask, how many states are there between the absolute value of K and K plus dk? And so to do that, I choose some section of dk, and I choose dk big enough that I enclose a few of these points. So you have to imagine these points, L is very large, so these points are very close together. So I choose a delta k, and there's a number of points in it, and the number of points is the length of this section I choose divided by 2 pi over L, the spacing between the points. And then I need a factor of 2 because there's left-moving waves and right-moving waves. So if I want to know the density for the absolute value of k, then I need to put a factor of 2 for the left and right-moving waves. And I need another factor of 2 because of the polarizations. If a wave is moving to the right, the electric field could be pointed vertically or it could be pointed horizontally. And those are two linearly independent polarizations. Any other funny polarization I could build out of those two. So they would be two separate normal modes, the two polarizations. When I combine all those things, I get a density of states in one dimension that's just constant, which is reasonable as well, because if we look at how the solutions are spaced in one dimension, it's just a line, there's equally spaced dots. So it doesn't matter if I move my interval k plus delta k along, there's always the same number of dots in it. And there's a constant density of states. So when I do it in two dimensions, it looks like this. Here's the origin in k-space, and these points here are the allowed solutions that fit in a box with periodic boundary conditions. And if I ask for how many are there with a certain absolute value of k, then it's going to be all those within a ring that has a width in this direction of dk, and the length of the ring going around is going to be 2 pi k. So 2 pi k dk is the area of a ring that goes around like this. I divide by the area that corresponds to one solution. So every one of these dots can be associated with an area that looks like this, 2 pi over L squared. And I need now a factor of 2 for the two polarizations. And this tells me the density of states in two dimensions. And a lot of the factors of pi and 2 and so forth cancel out. And what you get is that the density of states is a linear function of k in two dimensions. So the number of solutions is growing as the absolute value of k gets bigger. And this is just, it's growing like the length of the ring that you go around grows as it gets bigger. The answer in three dimensions was that dk grows like k squared. So in one dimension it's constant, in two dimensions it's linear, in three dimensions it grows like k squared. And now when I have the density of states, I could use it to calculate something like the internal energy density. So the internal energy, I could calculate the analog to the Planck radiation curves, but now in one and two dimensions. So the internal energy would be something like the energy times the number of states at that energy times the Bose-Einstein factor, the mean number of bosons in that state. And so, wrong thing. I need to go back here.